You're listening to the Bird Dog Babe Podcast. In this bonus series titled Whiskey and Wild Hares, we are joined with Katie Willis on how to gain respect from a wild hare. All right, let's get after it.
I love that you're having a campfire.
Yeah, we got a little campfire going.
All right, yeah. So this is our first episode of Whiskey and Wild Hares.
Tales of the best worst dog or worst best dog, whichever you prefer.
What are you opening there?
Well, I'm trying to get into, I thought for our inaugural session that I would, I got a brand new bottle because I killed it the other night of my very favorite whiskey, which is Basil Hayden. They just actually redid the label, but it's still the same great whiskey. I really like this. I feel like it's a very approachable bourbon. It's got a little, it's kind of rye adjacent, but it's not a rye. Just a really easy sipping, very approachable bourbon. So if somebody out there was like, I would like to learn how to drink bourbon and I'd like to enjoy drinking bourbon, I would definitely recommend this as a good place to start.
Yeah. Is that the one that I had with you the one night?
Yes.
Was that okay? That was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was very good.
Yeah. So we'll just pour a little bit here. What are you drinking this fine evening?
I have a huckleberry flavored. It's called Bear Proof. I was just looking for a new whiskey to try out and I saw this one and it sounded tasty.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the first wild hare story, do you have one picked out?
Yeah, I think I do. I think I do. The one that I'd like to start with is, I think we should title, how to make friends with a wild hare.
Okay.
And or maybe it would be better how to gain the respect of a wild hare. Would be the better title. So it's the force fetching story. And okay. So I thought, you know, briefly, you know, if you know what force fetching is, now is an excellent opportunity for you to take a minute to top off your drink and get ready. But if you are unfamiliar with force fetching or a little confused about force fetching, I think we should give just a little synopsis of what force fetching is. And essentially what it is, in my opinion, my understanding is that, you know, all bird dogs have some degree of fetch drive. Some have huge fetch drive. Some don't have a lot of fetch drive, but all of them are kind of going to want to run up and sniff a bird and maybe pack it around. And so force fetching is getting to the point where that dog will always retrieve the hand. And part of it is the desire to go out and get game and come back. But a bigger part of it is obedience. Like, I don't care what it is. I don't care what the conditions are. I don't care how you feel about it or what else is going on. If I send you to go do a task, you have to complete this task. And so not only are you working towards a dog that will reliably fetch, for a lot of dogs, because you're now not just asking them to sit, stay, or whatever. You're actually asking them to interact with you on something that they have desire, drive, and pleasure for. You really have to like the force fetch is really that final, like, obedience piece of, I am actually the one who's in charge of this adventure. If you want a bird, you have to do all the things. And then the game belongs to me, right? Like, it's not just that they bring it back. It's that they bring it back intact, that they don't chew it up, that it's like fit for the table, right? Like that it's all of the things. It's all of the things that you're looking for to get a finished bird dog so that when you go out and you drop that big old rooster that you get to put it on your table and you're not sort of like turning it into sausage because it's been, you know, ground into hamburger or broken to pieces. Right. So that is the basis of what force fetching is, in my opinion. Yeah. And so what you do when you force fetch is you start out with very basic, like, what's called hold and carry, where you just take like a very nice, approachable, you know, fetching bumper and you put it in their mouth and you make them hold it. And you go through these process and you put a lot of random things in their mouth. Like, right. Like you might put a brush, like a bristle brush or a weight or like a wooden object or things that are kind of abnormally weighted. So they're heavier on one side or not on the other side.
We use a hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's, it's this really awkward process because, you know, they might want to pick up a bird, but they don't want to pick up like this weird thing. I mean, I used to make Colt fetch a lot of beer bottles, like just, you know, like, I'm like, here, go get this beer bottle. And so then you also like can teach him to be really soft mouthed. Cause at some point in time, like then you'll start putting like a frozen bird in, like a, you'll take a, you know, a frozen bird and use a frozen bird. And then you use a thawed bird. And like, at least with Bird Dog, eventually we got to the point in time where I like had a trussed pigeon and I put a live pigeon in his mouth. And the expectation is that he's going to very gently hold this live pigeon in his mouth and it will come to no harm. Mm-hmm. So it's this whole process. And then, you know, once you get the hold and carry done, then you start doing the fetch, you know, and they have to fetch. And you, some people do fetch to force to a pile. I never did force to a pile. I didn't really understand that.
Right.
But it's this idea of like, whatever I ask you to go get, you're going to go get it. You're going to bring it back and you're going to go get it. You're going to bring it back. And, you know, like working with Bird Dog, he just was this guy who like, he got it the first time. You show him something, he's like, I got it. And then the next 20 to 300 times, he was like, well, did you mean it? Or like, well, but what if you like, but okay, so like, I'll do it like this, which is not exactly what you asked me for, but it's like close-ish, right? Like, how about that? Like, what if I just get close? I'd be like, no, you have to do it every time. You have to do it every time. And what you end up using is like a little ear pinch, right? So you do a little ear pinch and you mm-hmm. pinch your ear and they open the mouth, put the bumper in, and then you do this whole process. And so we had done this force fetch process and it took us like 6 months and Bird Dog was just a turd about it, right? Like, so like I was saying the other night, like he could spit a bumper 8 feet. And so like, if they spit the bumper out, what you have to do is you have to immediately as quick as possible, put it back in their mouth. And he like figured it out that it had to be quick. And so mm-hmm. he would like look over his shoulder as soon as I started to turn and wasn't paying him 100% attention. And he would spit this bumper like 8 feet. So then he gets to break the game, right? Like now he's in control of the game because he spit the bumper out and like,
it's gonna take you a while to go get it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna take me a while to go get it. And the whole time I'm going to get it, he can sit there smugly like, ha, 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 like I don't have to hold a bumper. And so it was like this thing, right? Like it was this constant thing of like him misbehaving in this way. And so, you know, sometimes you do it great, sometimes you wouldn't. And so we were getting ready for his utility test. And it was just a hair after his second birthday. And it was a late August test. And so test was obviously on the weekend. And so I was working like in the afternoon, the Monday prior. And so we got up super early and we went out to the pond and I'm like, okay, we're gonna work through this process, right? Like we're gonna break down this final barrier of like you going out and fetching in the pond for me. And it's the same pond that we did like some of the duck search, right? Like it's this great pond. It's super mucky. It's got some cattails and reeds and tulies in it. Yeah. And so I was in college, right? And I was broke, like broke, broke, right? Like, okay, somebody is smoking a lot of marijuana out here. We are at a hot springs. And so consequently, that's what happens. Just got a big whiff of the gosh. Oh yeah. Okay. So it's a mucky pond. It's where we practice some duck searches. It's got these reeds and these tulies. It's a nice mucky pond. And so we head out there. It was like the Monday before our utility test. And we go out super early, like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's cold. Like it's really cold, you know, probably like 40 degrees. It's just that late August, early fall, cold morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I get him all set up and I have this Doikin dummy, this Doikin. I don't know. Everybody has
Doikin
differently, but anyhow,
it's Doikin. It's named so after Doikin Tom Doikin. Yeah.
Okay. So I got this Doikin dummy. And it was like a huge deal that I had this because, you know, that was when I was in college and, you know, I'm like living on ramen and bean and rice burritos because the cheese was too expensive, right? So that's like my entire sum total of my life. And so to spend $30 on this, you know, this Doikin mallard was like a huge deal.
Yeah.
And so I've got a dead duck and I've got the Doikin. And I get him set up on the pond and I throw the dead duck out. And he swims right out there, fetches it, he brings it right back, he sits down, presents it. I take it. Good boy. What a great guy. You're an awesome. And then I throw the fetch. And he swims out to it and he gets right up to it and he puts his little nose right on it. And then he's just like, oh, whatever. And like peels off into the tules. He's going to go find something better. He's not interested.
Oh, no.
He doesn't want. Tom Dokken is a great man. Bird Dog is not interested in what Tom Dokken has to offer. And so I've got the e-collar on. And so I e-collar him back to me, you know, and I set him up again. Fetch. And he swims out to it, gets right to it, sniffs it once, and peels off the other direction. We are not fetching.
Oh, no.
We are not fetching this dummy. We are not fetching this dummy. And I think I brought him back a couple more times. And every single time, you know, I even, you know, like tried to line him up, tried to get him set up to go out there. And every single time he would just swim out to it, sniff the dummy, and then peel off. And like the rage within me is like growing because I'm looking at a dog that is not doing what I ask him to. And more importantly, I'm looking at $30 sitting floating in a pod, right? Like it's $30 out there. Like I couldn't afford to buy it the first time. I sure as hell can't afford to buy it the second time. Like I'm like, ah, and I am just fuming mad. I am so mad. And so I'm like, well, I'm not going to just let that, like, I'm not going to leave that dummy out there. And so I start stripping down and I get to my birthday suit and I get to my birthday suit and I call that damn dog back to me and I sit him down and I put the e-collar controller. I had a dog truck. I put it between my teeth and I put a thumb in each ear and I start biting the collar and I swim his ass out to this bumper. I'm like, fetch, you know, I'm like right on top of it, like fetch. And he picks it up and I swim him all the way back, like still got the thumbs in the collar. And I get him back and we get to shore and he sits down and he's staring at me and I'm staring at him and he's shivering and I'm shivering. And I'm just kind of standing over the top of him and I've got my fist curled up and I'm looking right at him and I'm like, come on, buddy, like go ahead and like spit that bumper. Like that'll be the last bumper you ever spit out of your mouth. And we stood there. Well, he sat there. I stood there shivering in like 6:30 in the morning. Oh my God, if anybody had pulled into that pond, right? And there's just this woman buck naked.
It's 40 degrees.
40 degrees, shivering, soaking wet, shivering, staring eye to eye with this black dog with her fist clenched like she's just going to clock him. And we must have stood there like that for like 5 minutes, like just staring at each other. And then he finally just kind of like tucked his head and dropped his eyes. Like he stopped staring at me with fire. And I took the bumper from him and it was like the final step in him being like, okay, I respect you. And I have come to appreciate that you will go to any length necessary to make me do what you've asked me to do. And we stopped fighting. Like wow. We stopped fighting. Like we never, I mean, like we still would disagree where I'd be like, hey, stop eating that thing. It's bad for you. But as far as like the fundamentals of like hunting and the fetch, he never, right. We never fought over it again. And I think, you know, you got to break through that wall, right? Like yeah. You got to break through that wall. And cause they're going to see how far you'll take it. Mm-hmm. And if they find out that you're not willing to take it as far as they will, like, good luck, buddy.
cause with that process, every dog has to overcome, like there's a threshold, right? Like there's always a part that they struggle with you have to just figure out what's going to get you through that with them to make them reliable that they're going to do it every time. And they understand. I have never heard that extreme before in my life. Or that dedicated of an owner or trainer that would do that. So, I mean, kudos to both of you.
$30. It was $30. $30 is a lot of dollars. It's so many dollars. It's so many dollars. Yeah, I don't know which I was madder about. The $30. I probably the $30. I mean, right. I just didn't. I mean, like $30 was a lot. And I just like sitting out there watching that Dokken just bob. I was like, oh my God, I can't, like, I'm like, I can't leave it out there. I'm going out to get it one way or the other. And I'm like, and I'm going to make him get it. Like, I'm going to make him get it. He's got to get it. He can't not get
it. That is totally true. Like Bird Dog and Katie fashion though, like where he's playing the I'm hard headed and you're like, you're not going to win.
You think you're hard headed. You should see how hard this is. Come on, buddy.
I can't believe nobody saw you do that.
Oh my God. Can you even imagine? Like, can you imagine? Cause it's a pretty popular pond. I mean, we run our duck search for our NAVDA chapter test there. There's a ton of people that go out there. There's like catfish fishermen out there. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of people out there and tons of people train out there. Like, you know, and I wasn't the only person from Central Oregon that was heading up to that test. Like, I cannot believe that nobody else drove up. And like, can you, like, and it was one of those things where like, I was so committed to the process, I wouldn't have cared if someone drove up. I've been like, go away, we're in the middle of something.
Look away.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here.
So when you had the remote in your mouth, were you holding down the button the whole time then?
Yeah. Yeah, I just was.
That's hard.
I was very angry. Uh-huh. And I just was like, you know, it was just, I think I was also probably just really tired where I was like, how much longer do we have to do this? Like, I don't want to keep fighting with you, but you have to do what I tell you to do. And that means like, you can't just pick and choose what you're going to pick up. Like, you don't just get to decide like, I'll fetch this, but not that. Like,
oh my gosh,
you know, and everybody. And I think it also goes back to like the, you know, the Katie mentality of, you know, other people that I'd run into and they were like, oh, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, I'm in the middle of force fetching. And people would be like, oh, well, let's see if you can get through that. That's hard. You know, a lot of people can't complete force fetching. And I'm like, oh, we're going to do it. I don't care what it takes. I might have to get naked in a pond and bite on her electric collar.
So any duck search pond I've ever seen is pretty damn gross though. Like, did you walk away with any kind of infections or bacterial itch?
No, I ran. I did make sure my tetanus was updated for certain, but no, it was. I mean, it's just gross. Like, it's just gross out there. Like, I would.
Yeah. No leeches.
Yeah. Oh no, I didn't get any leeches, which is crazy. It was pretty full that year, and so the better part of it, I was swimming. Like, I swam him out there. Like, it wasn't. I didn't wade out up to my neck. Like, I was swimming, kicking along with him, like, this, you know. So,
well, I would too, because I'd be deathly afraid of putting my feet on whatever was on the bottom of that pond.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty gross out there. It's just, yeah, it's gross. It's so gross. It's so gross.
You guys are chucker hunting.
Yeah. So we've been doing some chucker hunting. We got skunk today. We went to a spot. I found some birds last year, but gosh, we didn't even see a bird fly. Like, there wasn't, you know, anything. We saw some really old poop. But yesterday we got into a bunch of quail. Yesterday we had a bang up quail hunt and got into some quail. Actually, very interestingly, Ben shot a chucker with a clubfoot. It was this totally clubfoot chucker. Like, it's like its leg had gotten broken basically kind of at the ankle joint. Huh. And then it had just curled over and was just like totally clubbed and had obviously been walking on it for quite a period of time. Like it had this big old callus on it.
Callus. Interesting.
Yeah. It was really interesting. It was really interesting. You know, and so that's maybe why Ben was actually able to kill it, is because it couldn't run away from him.
That my whiskey's really good. I will do this again. Different one for the next one, though. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cheers. Never turn your back on an old wire hair.
Cheers.
Cheers.